This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show. It's time for fun stuff!
Fun stuff!
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Fun stuff!
All right, so fun stuff number one coming up in June on the 22nd and 24th. To be specific, Karen and I will be speaking in La Mirada, California. That's near L.A. And we'll be at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference, or SoCal as they call it. That's going to be at Biola University. So go to the website at SoCalCWC.com, and you can see all of the information. They got a lot of great speakers. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of great learning. So think about joining us there. We would love to see you.
And we have an opportunity for you. Right from the Deep podcast is for you writers. The best way for us to ensure that we're meeting your needs is for you to share them with us. So here's what we want you to do. Go to Erin's Facebook page and my Facebook page and share any ideas you have about topics you'd like us to address. We look forward to hearing from you and to dealing with your topics. Thanks.
Yay.
And now here's the show.
Welcome, everybody. We are glad to have you here with us, joining us for the podcast. We're so thankful for you guys, and we're thankful for the feedback that we get. It's a blessing to serve and for us to grow together and learn, and we are loving it and hope you guys do too. So today, we're going to talk about an unavoidable occurrence in the publishing industry. This is something you can't get away from no matter what, and it's called critique. maybe you're at a conference and you have an appointment with an editor or an agent or a mentor, or maybe you're just meeting with your critique group, or, you know, for those of you who are published, you know where your critiques are coming from. It's those edits.
Right.
And those edits are coming, and it can be tough.
Erin and I just returned from the Florida Christian Writers Conference, and we met with a lot of writers there, a lot of talented writers, some beginning writers. And we were doing quite a few critiques, talking with them about their manuscripts and how to strengthen what they were doing, how to better understand the market. And it was interesting. We saw different responses from people. We saw a host of different things. We saw folks who felt discouraged because they came in thinking they were ready, and then the things that we said to them showed them that they weren't. Every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, I saw some resentment. Like, you know, there was that whole, who the heck do you think you are to tell me that about my manuscript? You're kind of like, well, you came to me. We saw some anger again because they came in with, I think, unrealistic expectations about where they were at in the craft and in their understanding of the market. So those kinds of responses to critique end up becoming self-defeating. And in seeing those kinds of responses, we thought we would talk with you guys about it, because we know that being critiqued isn't easy. We know that being edited isn't easy. It's hard, but we need to learn how not to respond to it in a negative way, how to see it as a friend.
And one other thing I want to mention, when we talked in our last podcast about what are you feeding on and feeding on Jesus, I think there is a little bit of a danger in maybe you go and you get a critique and you hear good things and you hear a lot of positives and a lot of encouragement, and you're affirmed and you're affirmed and you're affirmed. And you need to just be a little bit careful that you don't become someone who feeds on affirmation, because again, that can lead in the wrong direction for you. We need to make sure that, yes, affirmation is great, but make sure that you're going into this, you're feeding on Jesus, and you're looking for ways that you can improve in a healthy way.
The key in all of this is having a teachable heart. understanding that we're too close to see the places where we have weaknesses. I don't know a writer out there who doesn't need an editor, who doesn't need critique partners to help them strengthen it. And that's not saying that you're not a good writer. You just need to have a teachable heart to be open to people coming to you and saying, you know, I understand what you're trying to do there, but it didn't really hit me right. I had a writer who sat down with me at this conference, and when I started to tell him the things that I thought he needed to change, he responded by arguing with everything I was saying. Well, this has been through this critique group and these professionals thought, so why didn't they see that? And it got to the point where everything that I said, and I really was trying to help him, but everything that I said, he fought back and he said, I like it this way. I don't want to change it. And so I realized at that point, really, there was little I could do to help him. If you don't come in with a heart that's seeking and asking, how can I make this stronger? And understanding that the person who's doing the critique, if it's the right kind of person doing the critique, they're there to help you and to help you strengthen what you're doing. He didn't see me that way. He saw me as an enemy, in essence, who was telling him that everything that he did was wrong. And I was, because everything he did was wrong. And so, you know, but he came to me and asked my counsel and then just shoved all the counsel back in my face. Now, I didn't get upset or anything. I just sat back and I thought, okay, there's really nothing I can do to help this guy. And at one point, after he was pushing back, he looked at me and said, but I need to know if you're interested in this as an agent. And I said, no. I said, here's the deal. You came to me, you asked my counsel and every bit of counsel that I've tried to give you, you fought and you argued with rather than listening and seeing if you didn't even give it time to resonate and see if it could be accurate. So no, I'm really not interested in it. Number one, it's not at the level that I need. But number two, I like to work with people and I determine to work with people who are open to learning and continuing to grow. So, you know, he wanted me to approve of everything he'd done, but that wasn't my job there. That's not your critique partner's job. That's not an editor's job. Yes, we give kudos where they're due, but for the people who are coming in to critique your work or to edit your work, the primary focus is to take what's there and then give you, the author, ways to make it even stronger. Not because we're saying you don't know what you're doing, but because we're saying what's there is great, but we're going to take it to an even stronger place.
You know, sometimes I think that people think they want the critique, but when it comes down to it, they really don't. I had a writer come in and she sat there for like, you know, 14 and a half minutes and talked about her story and talked about this and talked about that. I'm like, why did you come to me, actually? You know, so she didn't want any feedback. She just wanted to tell her story. I had a hard time understanding why she was there. Maybe she thought she was trying to get feedback, but she didn't come in with the attitude of listening. It was the attitude of just avoiding, even just talking. So that is something that we really need to be careful of. If you say you want the critique, then, you know, stop talking and listen.
I've learned over the years that there are writers out there who have that teachable spirit, and I love working with them. I had one writer in particular who, you know, was hurt by the things that I said in my editorial revision letter. I always try to make my words kind and not unkind, but, you know, it's hard when people come in and they tell you, okay, well, I understand what you're trying to do here, but yeah, no. So it's hard to have people seem to criticize, but there's a difference between criticism and critique, criticism and editing. When we come in with critique, when we come in with editing, what we're saying is you can do this better. You did a great job in this first pass, but you can do this better. So she actually went away, and I could tell that she was bothered by it all, but she contacted me a day later and she said, I gave myself a day just to sulk and be mad and to say that you didn't know what you were doing. But then I buckled down and I took a hard look at the things that you suggested. And I started to realize that what you were saying was accurate and it was applicable to my writing. And so I started to incorporate the editing suggestions that you made. And she sent me a chapter that she had reworked and it went so far beyond anything that I had thought it would. She just, it's like, boom, she just blossomed all of a sudden into like two levels beyond where she was when she first came in. Wow. That was amazing. Not because my suggestions were so great, but because she had a teachable heart, she was able to take them in to see how they could serve her story and her readers better. And she determined to become a stronger writer through this process. And she did. It was so much better.
These are the kind of writers that we love to help. You know,
Amen.
Those people that you have to give them some hard news that maybe their manuscript isn't as ready as they thought. But man, they take it right on the chin and they get right back up again and they're ready to go. They're, you can see in their eyes that there's some disappointment there, but then you see this determination. I spent a lot of extra time with the writers at this recent conference even. I spent a lot of extra time with those who really sought counsel and wanted to learn. I was so happy to help them and to see that their little light bulbs were going on and they were getting better and they were improving. And down the road, these are the kinds of authors that I would want to work with as an acquisitions editor. I mean, I'm remembering these people. I know who they are. And your reputation for being teachable and rolling up your sleeves and working, it will stay with you and go with you. And it's a good thing. So here we have all of these different responses. Karen, what do you think really hinders us the most from the right kind of attitude when we get hit with criticism or critique, I should say?
I think because writing is that kind of career where everybody can come in and tell you how they think you should have done it better. I read a quote once that said, the most driving need within a human being is to edit someone else's copy. it's we all think that we can do better. And so as a writer, you put something out there and people read it and sometimes you get the kudos that you're looking for, but sometimes you get, I think I should have done this. And the folks don't always know what they're talking about, but everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has an opinion. And ultimately, what ends up happening if we don't prepare ourselves for this part of writing is that we end up afraid. Hmm. We end up discouraged and feeling like we can't do it, like we will never have the skills and nobody's ever going to like what we've written. And if they're going to pick that apart, then I'm never going to get past an editor. And so that fear is an underlying thing that comes into play and can demoralize us as writers. The other side of that, though, is arrogance. When you think you can do it, just pop up and do a bestseller, write a bestseller, and you don't bother to study or learn the craft. You just pop it off. And, you know, I get proposals like this all the time from folks who send their proposals to my assistants, and my assistants send it back and say, sorry, it's just not ready. And they're all offended by that. But guys, it's about understanding and studying the craft, which I know a lot of you do, and we're grateful for that.
I agree totally. There's that fear that we don't think we can do it. We don't think we have the skills, that sort of bottom line, maybe I'm really a fraud. And then there's the opposite,
right,
the arrogance. I think that it'd be easiest for us if we look at it simply as when we're dealing with critique, when we're dealing with these tough things that someone's saying, all we need to do is realign our understanding of how writing works. Writing is hard.
Right.
Rewriting is hard. And there are so many things to learn that we didn't know. We didn't know that we didn't know them, you know?
Right.
And then
right,
all of a sudden, these things are piling on and we get discouraged. But if we just stopped and thought to ourselves, you know, actually, it's okay that I didn't know this. Writing
right,
is hard. It's okay that my first try or my 10th try isn't the publishable draft. It's okay. Writing is hard, you know, and we give ourselves time to be that a little bit frustrated and to soak in that, okay, I'm going to need to go back to the drawing board, but okay, let's limit that time. We don't have to wallow in that forever. And then it's time to
right,
take a good hard look at the suggestions. But then it's time to think and to pray and to get counsel. I think one of the biggest things that causes us to have fear is when we don't know what the answer is. When we see these problems in our manuscript and we're like, well, I don't know how to fix it, you know, but okay, be okay that you don't know how to fix it right now, because that person that has given you that critique, they may have some suggestions, or maybe, you know, through the same process, the counsel and praying about it, thinking about it, reading a book, maybe. Give yourself time to do those things and to search for the answer. It's okay. It's okay that you don't know how to fix it right now. Instead, we just want to panic, but we don't have to do that. It's okay. Trust in this process and trust in the God who has given you the skills so far. He's not just going to abandon you halfway. He's going to give you what you need to go.
We've said this a couple of times, but I still want to stress this. Make sure that you're getting critiques when you submit your manuscript to a critique process from people who know what they're talking about. It's fine to get opinions from readers, that kind of thing. That's always helpful information. But when you're going into an actual critique to help you strengthen the craft, make sure that you're getting that information and that reaction from people who've studied the craft, who know what it is to write these books, who understand the market and who understand the skills and the talents that you need to have in order to do this, so that they can give you constructive critique and not destructive opinions that will demoralize you.
Yes, excellent. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what can the listener do like today? What can they do to help themselves right now?
Well, the first thing is to remind yourself that critiques and edits and people tearing apart what you've done and helping you put it back together, that's all just a part of the process. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of this journey of writing. And I know this is hard to understand and embrace, but guys, this isn't about you. Yeah. It's about the message God has given you and the responsibility you have to share that with excellence. Think about 2 Timothy 2:15, where we're told, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Study the craft, guys. Immerse yourself in learning how to do this task well.
I think about all the detail and all the care that went into building like the tabernacle. You know, this was like a temporary tent here. I mean, yes, okay, it lasted years and years. But the thing is that over and over and over again, God gives them these directions on how to do it. And it says, and they did just as the Lord commanded. You know, it's the ark, the atonement cover, the cherubim, the anointing oil, the incense, the ephod, the priestly garments, everything. It mattered that they did their best. And I firmly believe that God gave them the ability to do what they needed to do. But they didn't just like, you know, whip it out in one day. I mean, they labored and they did their best. And these were people who studied their craft and knew their craft and did it with excellence.
Also recognize, folks, that critiques and editing and all of that, that's something that God uses, like it talks about in scripture, as iron sharpening iron. Mm. Other people who come in and help you to strengthen your writing and to refine your craft. It's as much about refining you as it is refining your craft. It's about teaching you to keep your focus on God and on the task he's given you, not about being right. Mm. It's not about justifying why you did what you did. I love the proverb from Proverbs 27:5-6. It says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So faithful are the wounds of a critiquer. Faithful are the wounds of an editor, but the kisses of somebody who just wants to tell you that everything you do is great, those are deceitful. It's not about being right. It's not about being able to justify the way that you did things. It's about knowing that what you're doing is being excellent in your craft.
And then there's one other thing to remember. You guys, this is your story.
Right.
Yes, critiques and editing, they're so helpful and they're necessary and they can strengthen your craft. But also remember, deep within, you may have this sense, what if you're being told something and you feel like it's not how God wants you to share the story? Then you need to be true to what God says. You need to hold on to what he says about how to share the story. I'm not talking about just, you know, saying, oh, well, God said I don't need to use punctuation. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the core of your message and your story. Yes, get counsel, but make sure that you're listening to God first.
You know, when I was an acquisitions editor for one of the publishing houses I worked at, I got called down to the CEO of the company to his office. He had the manuscript that I'd been working on with one of my authors and had the manuscript on a table in front of him. And we sat on a couch and he went through and he was kind of uncomfortable with some of the subject matter in this novel, which was a powerful, powerful novel. And he came to one scene and he looked at me and he said, I think this scene needs to come out. And I just sat back on the couch and I looked at him and I said, then this publishing house needs to not publish this book. Hmm. And he looked at me and he said, well, what do you mean? I said, that scene is the crux of the story. That scene is the epitome of the power of this story about grace and about God sustaining and about God being what matters most. You pull that scene out and the story collapses. That one scene was the big scene that needed to show who God was in the context of the story and who he was then in the context of the reader's life. Hmm. And so after we talked about it, the publishing CEO sat back and he said, okay, I withdraw that request. And I got to tell you, that book took off. It became a huge bestseller. And people wrote that author about that particular scene and said, I wept when I read that scene. Mm. And I realized how much God loves me. So when you feel that you're being asked to take away from the message that God has given you and the way that he's asked you to tell it, you've got to hold to what God says. Seek his wisdom. Ask him for discernment. 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. I'm not saying that people who come in with critiques and edits that you don't agree with, I'm not saying they're evil, but they may not understand what you do about this story. And you need to seek God's amen when they ask you to do something that you don't think is right. Hmm. So in light of all that, critiques, editing, those are simply a part of the journey when God gives you the task to be a writer. They're steps on the path. They're not meant to discourage, but to help and strengthen you. And you need to see them, believe it or not, as friends, as allies, as a part of your team. You need to ready yourself to receive those things with the right heart and the right mindset. Listen closely. Evaluate with an eye toward what God is telling you in wisdom and discernment. And then work hard to refine and improve where you need to do so. And never, ever forget, you've already done the hardest part of all. You wrote a book. Yes. You got it on the page. So now it's time to dig in and make it even stronger. Not to make yourself look good and not to say, look, I did this, but to ensure that you are sharing the message God has given you with as much power and excellence as possible. Those are the books that will reach out and change people's lives. And that's what we all want.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.